mystery. Okay, let's learn up the we're off the parak base pasuk yud haloi of echol luchulano pasuk yud k malachi parak base pasuk yud haloi is it not so of echol luchulano is one father to all of us haloi kel echad biro anu one God created us madua nivgad ish biachiv why then does one man rebel does one man be boiged means commit a crime why does man commit a crime against his fellow brother lechalel bris avasenu to profane the covenant of our forefathers. Okay, powerful pasuk. All of mankind has one father, or we'll see we all come from Avraham, and Hashem created all of us as one creator. Why then does one man think he's better than another to take the law into his own hands and to not the law but to go and to abuse other people?
Does a bris mean a covenant or it means bris milah?
It's all no. It usually means a bris milah is a covenant. The bris milah v'choreis imoy habris laseis eretz hakanani. It says bris milah 13 times, and bris milah is associated with eretz Yisrael and with everything. And it all depends how you look at it. Okay, there are many different dimensions to bris. Bris sometimes refers to bris milah, sometimes refers to the bris ben habesodim. Over here, we learned the last few days, it refers to a covenant between the kohanim, the shevet halevi. They are going to be the ministers. They are going to be the servants of Hashem to lead Klal Yisrael. And sometimes bris refers to a Pinchas. Hashem made with Pinchas a special bris. I mean, there are many, many brisim in the Torah, and it all depends on the context and on the interpretation. Here we've come across many. Did anyone here say the word bris milah? No, I don't recall that we learned over here anyone here saying bris milah, but we're focusing mainly on either Pinchas or the bris of the Kohanim in general. Okay, and let's go further. Bagda Yehuda v'soeva ne'esa v'Yisrael. Yehuda has committed a crime to be boigid. Boigid means to rebel. Boygate means to, what's a good word for boygate? Boygate, we need Rambam Chol here, tell us a good translation of boygate. Boygate, what does it mean boygate? It means to commit a crime.
Also it means shot with
BB gun. What?
A person was shot with a BB gun.
A person was shot, so that's the crime that happened over here?
That's what happened. Yeah,
so is the person okay?
Active shooter, as they would call it.
Is the person okay?
This happened 7:30 in the morning.
Oh, right when I was there.
7:30
could have been me.
He's not in critical condition.
Is it Echad Mishalanu?
It doesn't say this because the
media, you know, everything got to be
a screen.
You have to have a politically correct. You don't want to be a racist to say. Yeah.
Did you see Hatzalah or did you
No,
see
I did not see Hatzalah. I did not see an ambulance either.
No, they called EMS.
I didn't see EMS. I just saw cops. They were just looking. I you know what I really thought when I saw it? I thought there was a dead body. Someone buried a body in the sidewalk where they were doing construction. It's a good place for Seamus, right? Oh, they're digging up the street. We'll put some Seamus. We'll put bodies there.
Listen, the cemeteries all over the place.
And it was very bizarre. I was walking like what's going on? I asked the guy. Everyone said, I don't know. So I just ran to shore. One thing I learned: don't bother the cops. The cops are busy. Don't go over to a cop and say what's going on. That's the last thing they want to hear from you. Stay, mind your own business. Find out from someone else. The cops they don't like when someone gets nosy. What's going on? They really don't like it. Bagda Yehuda was having a Yisrael. Pasuk Gidal. Yehuda has committed a crime and an abomination has taken place in the Jewish people of Yerushalayim. Ki chilel Yehuda. Ki Yehuda has profaned the Kodesh Hashem Hashoev. The Jewish people have profaned the holy matters of Hashem, Asher Ohev, which Hashem loves. Uvoal bas el nechad. This is a metaphor. They have had illicit relations with a woman that they're not supposed to be with. And in this context, we are using this metaphor in reference to worshipping idols. Okay, that's two psukim. Let's go further. One more pasuk. Pasuk Yachreis Hashem l'ish asher yaasena. Hashem will cut down the man that does this, he will be an heir of the oineh. What does it mean, an heir? It is, there will be no living person. The word heir of the oineh means a person who is awake, and oineh, a person who responds. It's an expression, there will be no survivors. There will be no person that will be awake, and there will be no person that will be able to reply, to answer. If you ask them a question, they're dead. There's no one to talk to. That's how you remove the evidence. You kill off all of the people that know anything. Someone knows something, so you're always afraid that one day he will tell. He will reveal the information. So what do the mafia do? The mafia eliminates all the people that have the ability to oneir, to answer, to respond to questions. In the area, someone who's awake. So over here, there's a curse. Hashem will cut down lo isha shayasem. Anyone that engages in this activity. And we are repeating the word Yachres. Hashem will cut down an heir of the oineh, me'ochel Yaakov, u'magish mincha, and Hashem will cut down anyone who offers a meal offering la'Hashem tzivokos.
It's a basi parasi v'yoneh.
They call out, no one answers.
Right? Basi parasi. That's what's coming out of my head.
You know, the trap.
Yeah.
Okay. I was learning two days before. We learned from the preparing for the show, Kriyas HaTorah. We spent time in days ago learning about Kriya Satara, so I saw the bells are safer. I learned the bells are safer. So it's something very, very interesting. He said there was one of the Bali Kriya for bells. I don't know anything about it. I don't know about the whole Yichus, all the Rebbes, the whole Shervish, the whole Shalshalas Adairis, all the big players. And it seems like most of the Rebbes years ago, it was a double Pashut, that they would be the Bali Kriya. In order to be a Rebbe, you have to be the Baal Kriya. That's part of the show. That's part of the game. You have to do Hagba. You have to do Hagba. There are certain things a Rebbe has to do. Rebbe has to lane. A Rebbe has to do Kivit Lach. There are certain things a Rebbe has to do whether you like it or not. Those are certain parts. Today, obviously, everything is make-believe. Okay?
Right.
It's a make-believe world today. But it used to be, you know, you talk about the old Rebbes, the previous generations, they were very holy people. They really were. They were, you know, a different league. That's Davar Yadua. And so there was one of the rabbis, basically he leaned, and he did, and I can't absorb and grasp all the things that they're writing there, these stories, because I don't understand this whole culture. But he said that his Kriya Satara was a little bit different than the average fellow. Okay, he didn't really lean like a Bamayevsky lanes. He leaned a little bit different. And he said, they once asked him what's going on here, so he said, listen, I was trained by three people. Three rebbes. Three rebbes, I heard them lay. One of them lay, listen to this, one of them laid with the words and the ta'amim. Another rebbe, he only laid the words. He didn't lay the ta'amim. Another rebbe, and it was trained by maybe the four rebbes, he only lained the Ta'ameh HaMikra. He didn't say the words. And another rebbe, he did none. He didn't, when he lained, he didn't lane the Ta'ameh HaMikra, and he didn't do the trap. I took the best of all four.
Which was nothing.
Now, what in the world, so they have a whole paragraph there, a footnote, trying to explain what in the world does this mean?
Yeah.
What does this mean? That this, what does this mean? That one rabbi, one of the people, he only laid the Ta'ameh HaMikra, but he didn't lay in the words. What? And one rabbi, he didn't lay in the words, and he didn't lay in the Ta'ameh HaMikra. And one did both. So I took the best of all the four, these four worlds, and that's what I do. What in the world does that mean? I read the footnote, a very long footnote, to explain what this means twice. I don't understand one word that it said. All I can tell you is that 2 days ago, he's not here, but Eliezer, someone, a master Baal Kriya, passed away. His name was Rabbi Naftali Richter. Does that mean anything to anyone over here? Naftali Richter, he must have been a very old man. I wouldn't be surprised if he was in his 90s. I don't know. I really don't know. And I remember him. When I remember him, I was many years ago in Chaim Berlin, and he was the Baal Kriya. I remember years ago, he let her lay on Shabbos, maybe, I don't know, maybe when he came to Yom Tov. Whenever he came, he lay. when he came, whoever the Baal Kriya was, too bad. The way he appeared, he lay. I heard him late on Purim many times, many years. He only came for Purim on the Yomim Noraim. I heard him laying a number of times. And then the Shabbos here and there. And the last time I heard him laying was on Purim. It must have been probably 10 years ago. And he was no youngster then. Believe me, he was no youngster. And he laying very slow, way too slow for the Chaim Lulim people. They like very, very fast, very fast. He laying very, very slow. And it seems that back in the day, he was a legend. And I understand you listening to Lane. He was a legend. He was legend. And I don't know. And I know that one of the people there who followed his ways is the Baal Musaf. He stopped. He basically retired also. Rabbi Nochem Ari Foyer. He Lane just like him. He copied his Lane. Now I'll tell you something very, very funny. And I cannot possibly explain what this means. And you have to hear it to understand. Rav Naftali. Richter, Zeicher Tzad Levracha, is a very choshev person. When he leaned, you're not going to understand what I'm talking about but I'm telling you it's true. It was Ki'ilu, he said the word, he said the whole word, and then he went backwards and he said the truck. Does that make any sense? No, it makes no sense, right? It's like what is nonsense? He says the word very clearly and distinctly, and then when he finishes the word, he goes back in time and he does the melody to the word. Makes no sense, right? Well, if you heard him lame, you would understand what I'm talking about. I don't know how to explain it. I can't even begin to explain it. I can't imitate it. Nochem Ari Foyer can. He does the same thing. And I told him, he made last year the Nusach HaTfilah of Musaf. The official document for the yeshiva of the Nusach HaTfilah. And I told him, I was partially involved with it, and I told him, I want the laning. Oh, so he's a Nemo. What's going on?
What happened? Mind of its own.
Now, I'm going to tell you,
yes.
He passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
You remember Rav Naftali Richter?
Oh, definitely, yes. Okay. They say he was so slow in the lane that if he heard a plane going overhead, he would wait until it landed.
You know what he said? He laned so slow that if he heard a plane overhead, he would wait until it landed. Now, I said something. Tell me if you appreciate, if you understand what I'm saying. When he laned in a very unique way.
Yes.
Correct?
I said every word, no two ways about that.
I felt that when he laned, he would say the word very clearly and distinctly, and after he said the word, he somehow had this magical ability to go backwards and then lane the trump for the word.
That I don't
know. He said the word, and then the trump. All right. In any event, so when I read this thing, this Bell's a Sefer about this Rebbe who laned. And he said, I was trained by the best, and one of them laned the Mikra and the Tamim. One laned the Mikra, not the Tameh HaMikra, and one laned only the Tameh HaMikra, and one laned none. And I took the best of all four. The first that came to my mind was Naftali Richter. Because now Naftali Richter, when he laned, it was Ki'ilu, he laned the Mikra, and he laned the Tameh HaMikra. And they were separate almost. I know it sounds crazy. But I was telling you, Rav Nochem Ari Foyer, he owes me. He's going to do what he told me he would do. He's going to record the lane. He said he did a whole Nusach HaTfilah from beginning to end. It must have taken him forever. But he did not yet do the lane. He told me he's going to do the laning also.
Are you making a tape of him
davening
in
lane? Yes, he davened for about 25 years in the yeshiva, Chaim Berlin, the Baal Musaf. And he basically invented his own Nusach. So it sounds bizarre, right? He took over for Rabbi Salal Reifman, who had a very unique nusach, Chaim Bon has their schnitt, their unique, their nusach hatzfilah, from most of the Yomim Noiroyim, and he basically, the first couple of years, he basically followed exactly what he did, word for word, and then over time, he took the liberty to embellish the nusach hatzfilah according to his liking. And he did, over the years, he embellished it quite a bit. To such a degree, it's unrecognizable from what it was before. Rav Kalman appreciates this stuff, because Rav Kalman's a Baal Musaf. Rav Kalman understands this. He embellished the davening to over the 25 years, he grew and developed it in a very magnificent way. And he did over the years, he made recordings. People asked him for recordings. And last year, he made a fantastic professional recording of the entire Nusach for Rosh Hashanah, for Ma'ariv, for Yom Kippur, Musaf Yom Kippur, Ne'ilah, Kol Nidre,
so
Ma'ariv.
No,
it was necessary because last year, because of Corona, he didn't come. He didn't want to come because he got Corona and he had a very serious case. And he was partially afraid to come because of the situation. And then in the yeshiva, because of the situation, they broke up the minyanim, multiple minyanim, and they had to recruit, they had to take from the minyan yeshiva new Baalei Tefillah, because he did not daven. And so that's easy. And then they needed new Baalei Tefillah to take his place. And also they have alumni minyanim. And many of the people, they could do whatever they want. This is not a dictatorship. You can do whatever you want. But many of them wanted to follow in his way because people are just simply used to it. What you're used to. So they wanted, so therefore it was very important that there should be a recording of his nusach for people to use. And I know for a fact that many, many people used it. Many, many people used it. And it was very timely that he was able to do it, even though he wasn't well for a whole school because he had a rough time with this. I don't know what he's doing this year. I hope he's coming back. It seems like he's not. He's not coming back. And they're having again. I heard they already sent out the letters. They're having multiple minyanim because of Corona. Because everyone is all worked up. So they're having multiple minyanim. So, but it's very sad. Avtali Richter. It's very, very sad. He was an icon.
He was
an icon. Rav Hudna loved him. He was a very big. Rav Hudna only wanted to explain. And he was a very, I'm sure they'll write him up. They'll write him up in whatever, these magazines, they'll write him up. And he was a very chashur person, not just down the lane. He was a chashur, very chashur person. How old was Hamas Lulu? He must have been very old, right? He must have been probably,
He left the yeshiva, he went to Muncie.
He might have went to 100 years ago, he went to Muncie. But he always came back. He always came for Yom Tov, for Shabbos, here and there. I guess the last time I heard him lame was on Purim about 10 years ago. He leaned very slowly.
Yeah.
He leaned very slow.
An hour and 45 minutes
for the Megillah?
The boys came out, I remember that time, and they came out shaking their heads. The boys who experienced it for the first time, they that's it. It was an hour and 45 minutes.
Okay. Let's go further. Okay, we got sidetracked. I think there's very important information to reveal to us. Okay, let's go further. Let's now go back and take a look over here and look over here. The words of the Mitzvahs. Yes, a little bit louder. I can't hear you. A little bit louder. Yeah. I'm sorry, I can't hear. Say again. You want to suggest Er V'Oinon, that the Er V'Oineh is a remez to Er V'Oinon. Brilliant. Wow. Unbelievable.
And look this here. Yachet Hashem La'ish, Kadma V'Azun.
Yeah.
The fourth son of Yehuda,
and then it's Elohim. It's amazing. Unbelievable. The connection over here between Erev and unbelievable. We have to go look into that. We have to go see the. You're saying something that is really. Remnant to Erev Yonan. The Maisa of Kiloy Yiyazora. Hashchasa zel levatala, and here it says Yachves Hashem Ev Yoneh and Ol Yaakov. Fascinating. We have to go and analyze this in more detail. Yeah, we're gonna go. We gotta go see. You're saying unbelievable. So let's go back to the mitzvahs. Back to the pasuk Yud Aleph. the Mitzudais Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud, Haloy of Echel Lechulam, there's only one father. Over here, how come there is so much fighting among Klal Yisrael? We have one father, we have one God. Why does one man rebel and commit crimes against his fellow man? Pasuk Yud in the Mitzudah is David. The Pasuk says, it's on page 881. 881, Haloy of Echel Lechulam, Atana Chazal Lechicham, now Hashem or the Navi Malachi is returning to give them Musar. Oy Badavar Acher, another matter. Shagam Husibo Shaloy Yisrat Hashem Bekarbonosehem. There is another reason why Hashem does not accept their Korbanos. V'hu Habegida Shabagdu Bin Shoysehem HaKasheros KaShayoymar Be'inyan. So he's telling us over here is that the Begida, okay, that's what I asked you in the beginning, what's the unique of this expression? He's focusing specifically on being unfaithful to your wife. We're focusing on a very specific sin, infidelity bein ish li'ishtoi. That's the word boyged. Boyged is a reserved term. It's more commonly used in reference to when a man does not fulfill his obligations towards his wife. In the ksuba, there are many obligations, she'er, kisus, li'oina, and other things that is how the Mitzudais David understands the psukim we're about to read. Ufosach v'yoma. The first complaint is Haloy av echol chulanu ki chulanu bnei Yaakov anachnu v'yesh lanu kurva mipas aguf. We're all relatives. Next, Haloy kel echad b'ro anu. Hashem created all of us. Ritzayne loy mahaloy nafshes yishol atzulois mitoy. The word atzulois meito. What's a good word for atzulois? There atzilus. Nobility. Atzulois meito. He's taking the word over here, which means nobility. He's making it into a verb. He's saying that we, our distinguishedness has been extracted from Hashem. Our honor, our greatness, our nobility has been derived from Hashem, from HaKadosh Baruch, from one father, Mimikar. Mimikar machtseves hakodesh, from a source, a holy quarry. We've all been quarried from the same rock. The im yeshim came lanu kurva mipas hanefesh. He's saying a very, very profound idea. The mitzudos, you know, this would be something that you'd more commonly see in a malbum, what he's saying here. He's saying, halay avecha luchulanu, we have the same DNA. We have the same flesh. We have the same genes. We have the same physical makeup. That's number one. Number two, v'haloi kel echad bira anu, and we have the same spiritual roots. We have the same physicality and the same spirituality. You go and take a guy. Goyim also. People don't like to talk about this, but goyim also are spiritual beings. Okay, goyim believe in God, monotheism. You know, every guy also has some type of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Many of their ideas are false or are mistaken, but there is such a thing as having emuna, and that there is a creator, a basic principle of faith. So guys are also spiritually inclined. But our spirituality has nothing to do with their spirituality. The makar, the shirish of our spiritual connection to Hashem is different. We don't mix. They're spiritual beings, no question about it. They have their churches and their mosques and their this and their that. We don't have to go into all the details, but they have a connection also with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we have no shaykhus to that. We're not, just like when it comes to something physical, DNA, there are certain people that are prone to be vulnerable to certain diseases. Okay, Jews that come from Germany are more prone to certain genetic diseases. You know, that's why they have Dor Yesharim, because it's something which we find to be, it's a genetic disease that relates. Goyim don't have this problem, it seems, because they have a different genes. We're cousins. Okay, that's why it's not healthy to marry a cousin, even though according to the Torah, you can marry a cousin. But it's not healthy, because when you share the same genes, there can be problems. So that's number one. Number one, there's a lot we have in common as far as in our physical beings. The same way there's a physical relationship, there's also a spiritual similarity. Okay, this is a very deep concept. Because you would say that when it comes to spirituality, a guy and a Jew can sit together on a panel. There's, you know, all, you know, these inter-dialogue discussions. This is a very big machlokes in Klal Yisrael. Is it a good thing to engage in dialogue with clergy from other faiths? And there are some people, this became very controversial, like Yashaber and other, there's a very big break. Rav Cassidy loves to talk about this. There's a very big controversy. Is there any value where Orthodox Jews should sit down on a panel with clergy from other faiths? So many people in the Haredi world, it's anathema. Don't even go near them. Don't have anything to do. And also, that's goyim. There's a separate goyim and the conservative reform. Two different things. There's conservative reform and dealing with goyim. But many in the Haredi world. It depends who you ask. It's a good question. It's a serious question. It's not a joke. It's a serious question. But there are many people that would not dare to be invited to a panel where you would sit on a panel with a priest and an imam or any other spiritual from another faith. You don't do that. Why?
If the subject is religion, then that's true.
Even if it's not religion.
Yes. Of course we dialogue with them.
Okay, politics, right?
With them,
but your capacity.
Other matters of concern.
Okay, but this is not our topic. Whatever it is, but the point is, some people. The reason why they don't want to get together. Some people argue, why not? We all share one something in common. We all believe in God. So isn't that beautiful? If we all believe in God, we all subscribe to monotheism. So that brings us
fine,
together.
But let's not get into details.
Not fine, so we won't get into details. What? It's too loud? Okay, I'll make it lower. However, if you look at this Mitzudas David, he puts a monkey wrench. The Mitzudas David says, we have nothing in common with them. They have inquired from, their spirituality, from where they come to appreciate Hashem, is so different than where we have been quarried from, where we come to connect to Hashem, we share nothing in common. Don't make a mistake and think that just because they believe in God, we believe in God, so we can sit together. Just like when it comes to the physical being, okay? If a person who is a descendant from Africa, and a white who's a descendant from I don't know where, from somewhere else, they have nothing in common. Okay, they're both human beings. But but when it comes to medicine, I mean, there's a whole world of science behind this. There's certain types of illnesses, certain types of medicines. I'll give you an example in mental health. This is Yadua. In mental health, okay. What? In the world of mental health, you know, people Rahman Gutzlan who suffer from depression and from you know, all different types of mental health issues, it's a big guessing game. The medications, which there are numerous medications. The old-fashioned medication 50 years ago, and then there's the one with medications from 20 years ago, and then there are new cutting-edge medications, and sometimes a combination of a little of this, a little of that, they all, you know, a cocktail. So there are certain doctors that are very, very successful. I know this firsthand. A very, very successful, world-renowned doctors in treating people who have issues. And then when a firm person goes to him, it's a total disaster. Cannot even get to first base. And then there are certain doctors that are, no one even heard of them, and they're fantastic. The firm people go to them, you never, and they just hit the nail on the head, they give them a cocktail, and you never even know, halavai should be so simple. What's the shot? Because the medications, the firm people are just a teeny minority. Kiatem hamaat yikol ha'amim. Jews are pretty much from a very limited part of this world. We are descendants of Eastern Europe, or descendants in Poland. There's a certain genetic makeup that we have that's different than the genetic makeup of the average American, of an Italian, African Americans, and the people that are world renowned to be successful because their patients are primarily people that are not from our pool of genes. And when you try the medicines that they try on the people that are very successful, and from people who are African Eastern European descent, it doesn't work. But yet there are certain doctors that found they are very successful for the Frum Olam because he found a certain type of cocktail that works on the genes of Jews who are of Eastern European descent. I mean, that's medicine. This is very, there are a lot of, today, because everything is racist today, everything today is this, they view this, what I just told you, to be in medicine, to be racist. Dor Yesharim is under a lot of attack now. You know that? Dor Yesharim.
Yeah.
Dor Yesharim, who tests the Pesachs, they're under attack because it's considered in the medical world that they're racist. Because they're identifying a gene that's miyuchid for one segment of the population. And even though the people that attack them are out of their minds, literally they're totally crazy for doing this. I mean, they don't even know what they're doing. They can't even pronounce. They interview one of the guys. He didn't even know that Dor Yesharim treats the Orthodox Jews. He thought it was just some abstract thing that he found online about an organization that identified genes in a certain segment. Like, just look how retarded it is. But if you want to go identify an illness that affects primarily African Americans. And it's true because this is their genes. I mean, this is real science. This is not make-believe. So you're helping them. This is the disease that affects this segment of society, and they need this certain medicine. And some from a different part of the world, they need different medicine. Dr. Friedman, am I saying nonsense? Dr. Friedman.
I'm taking the fifth.
What Dr. Sharon did with Pesach's disease is it used to be primarily almost 100% a Jewish disease. And it was very, very rare among studies. Now, Goyim outnumber the number of people with Pesach's that Jews do because of Dor Yesharim. The Shvatzes also have some diseases, like sickle cell anemia.
Right.
The Italians have thalassemia, Mediterranean fever. There are genetic diseases that are distinct to certain groups of people. You want to call that racism?
That's what they're doing now. That my sister went to a conference, and this is exactly what they were doing. They were saying that all of these organizations that deal with Italians, Jews, it's racism, and we have to cut it out, and they cannot be funded. It's like retarded. Totally retarded, because everyone,
yeah,
equality. Cancel, everyone has to do the same. You can't
Well, of course. The ones who believe in science are anti-science, of course.
Okay, but the point we want to make for our pasuk here is that just like we appreciate, we know this to be a fact when it comes to genes and there's certain types of elements of society due to their physical makeup are different and therefore they react differently to certain conditions and they need unique special medicine because of their genes. So here the Mitzudos is saying in an awesome chiddush that if not for the Mitzudos, you could not say such a thing. It's the same thing in the world of spirituality. The same way
It's an interesting thing. Look up the word epigenetics. Epigenetics means that the way people live their lives can affect that the genes that they have in a certain way. It's very difficult to separate the two things. But Kendler, Rabbi Kendler from YU, he's very big into this epigenetics category, and he says that our Torah way of life has sort of altered our genes in a way that the leaders...
Over thousands of years. Yeah, over 2,000-3,000 years, the way we live, the types of foods that we eat, And the type of behavior that we engage in has definitely. The Gemara says this, that Jews, because they're always worried about mitzvahs, the Gemara talks about that even shirotzim. The Gemara says this, that it affects us, not them, because since the daigei b'mitzvahs, Jews are always, they're worried, did they do the mitzvah, did they not do the mitzvah, this nervousness affects how they digest food, their blood pressure. The Gemara talks about this, touches upon this principle. But you also can't deny that living in certain parts of the world, people who live in cold regions and hot regions, everything has an effect over the body. The body adapts, evolution. Okay, and over 2,000-3,000 years, the body has evolved and nishtana, the Chazanish says, nishtana hateva, depending upon your environment and your conditions and your lifestyle, you become a different person to a certain degree, and you're more vulnerable, susceptible to illnesses, and you react differently to different medications that other people do not react to. And this is accepted as a fact. So the Mitzvah David goes and he draws a parallel, which is really something which is shocking, and it's very, 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 it's a tremendous chiddush, is that the same way there is this concept, what's the term? What do you say the term is?
Epigenetics.
Epigenetics.
Yeah.
So the same way this epigenetics, this epi-spirituality, where the way a goy relates to Hashem is completely different with the way a Jew connects to Hashem. So to say that we're going to sit down at a symposium, all religions are going to sit together, Christians, Muslims, and Jews, and this and that, we all share something in common. We all believe in God. This is ridiculous. Yes.
It used to be that in communities, people were more, didn't travel so much. So people in the communities with marrying to each other. I mean, marrying to each other, marrying in the area.
The pool gene is limited. Right, that's all part of it.
That's what I'm saying. In Europe, people, when it's
Jews marry Jews, they marry cousins.
But besides that, probably being in a big city, for people lived in the shtetl or a small area,
That's why the pool of Jews, Orthodox Jews, is limited. Rabbi Avigdor Miller, they once asked him, are you allowed to take a dollar bill into the Beis HaKisei? It says on the dollar bill, in God we trust. No one would take it to the Beis HaKisei a sefer. How are you allowed to take into the Beis HaKisei a dollar bill? So he says, the God that they're referring to is not the God that we are referred to. And that's exactly what the Mitzvah Stavir just said. It's exactly. Okay. What do you mean it's not the God? What are you talking about? Monotheism. It's the same God. Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad. Yes and no. Yes, it's the same God, but the way we connect our Kadosh Baruch Hu is so fundamentally different, you cannot put it on par with the way a Goy. So, this is what he says. And that's how he learns Pshat in the Pasuk.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
The
Maharal speaks many times of a nation's collective tendencies to behave and think and believe in a certain way. That Bnei Yisrael have this tendency to believe in Hashem, to follow the good path, the bad, the evil path being the exception. It's not actually a brand new idea. When Chazal spoke of Hashem offered the Torah to various nations, knowing what their collective tendencies were, how they behave, right? The idea of a collective culture, of a collective behavior, that's a hard one for us who, we were raised to understand some science and not to generalize, but there's this metaphysical idea that's very common. Chazal said it.
Okay, so let's look at the pasuk again.
Yeah,
pasuk here. Yeah.
Now the salvation's father used to take out all his cash from his pocket and place it on the table before going into the bathroom, because it says in God we trust.
Oh yeah, who did this? Rav Moshe Salvation? Who?
Yes.
Rav Moshe Salvation. You hear that, Rav Moshe? He took out all the money of his pocket. What? I don't have this problem. I don't have too much money.
Yeah.
Fascinating. That's a fascinating thing. Because it says in God we trust, he did not want to take this in the Beis HaKisei.
So what happens when the dollar is devalued?
God is devalued? Okay, credit cards, did you ever in your life see a credit card with the words in God we trust? What happened? What's going on in this world, okay? In Eretz Yisrael, do they put "In God We Trust" on the coins, the minted coins? No. Not on the coins, the Shekel Chodosh, do you see? Why not? If America, what? Why in Eretz Yisrael is there no mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the coins? You know, the famous...
Because they believe in God, you trust, but they pay cash.
What?
That's the same God, so they don't want people going to the bathroom.
It's the swallow? They believe, because they really believe in it? First of all, there are probably 100 heterium to go into the base HaKis. Number one, it's a kiss besoich kiss. Anything in your pocket is a kiss. It's in the wallet, that's called the kiss besoich kiss. So that you could find a million heterium. Even one kiss, according to some poskim, is enough. You're not taking the dollar mamet. Okay, Avigdor Miller, he said it on an idea that's very, very powerful, which is mamish, exactly what the Mitzvot David and the Pasuk says over here, this concept that it's so completely removed. But you know, what is on the coin of the shkolim, or from the time of the Baal Shem? What are they? They have these images. So most of the images is the Mate Aroin. You look on the the Tzinsenes Hamon. That's what they have. They have on the coins the Tzinsenes Hamon. What's the pshat? Why on the you have to go online and type in the old coins, the Machsa Shekel, the old Machsa Shekel. They have on the back. They have on one side. They have they have the Menorah. On one side, the other side, they have. It's not a palm tree. It's not a palm tree. It's the mate iron that it's sprouted. Vayetze tzitz. What's the positive? Vayotze tzitz a perach. Vayigmol shkedim. It's the mate where it blossomed with. Vayotze perach. Vayotze tzitz. Vayigmol shkedim. And also they have the Tzinsenes Hamon. What's the Tzinsenes Hamon? And this is unbelievable. It's incredibly fascinating. The Tzinsenes Hamon. Yirmiyah. It's the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. What happened? What does it say in Rashi when Hashem said to Moshe, take a jar of the mon and put it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim l'mishmeres l'vnei Yisrael. And Rashi... What? That was the mate. And then what does it say? And what does Rashi? Rashi quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah, in the time of Yirmiyah, Klal Yisrael was not being oisek in Torah. They were not learning Torah. And Yirmiyah says, why don't you learn the Daf Yomi? And they said, Parnasa, Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnasa. So he went. Rashi quotes the pasuk. I forgot the pasuk. Rashi quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyah. He went into the Kodesh HaKadosh and he took out the Tzinsenes Hamon and he says, look at the Tzinsenes Hamon. Look, Klal Yisrael was in the midbar for 40 years. There were no high-tech jobs. There was no accountants, no computer programmers, no lawyers, no doctors. And Hashem provided from them. You can't take out an hour of your day to learn the daf. Ru'u, look. So isn't it incredible that in the time of the Bayis Sheni, the Bar Kokhba revolt, they minted coins, and what did they put on the coin? When you have money in your hands, remember, it's Hashem gives you the parnas. That is the ultimate "In God We Trust." In America, they put the words "In God We Trust." In the Bayis Sheni, they put on the coin the Tzinsenes Hamon. The Tzinsenes Hamon, in essence, is saying, Hashem gives you the parnasa. You think over here you have a coin, you put in your pocket, it's yours. I earned it. You earned nothing. Hashem gave this to you. You do your hishtadlus, and Hashem gives you your parnasa. Ru'u, look at the coin. This could you imagine? This was the image they put on the coins in the time of the Bayis Sheni. It's just remarkable. It's the ultimate "In God We Trust." And today, unfortunately, we backslide and we'd even have a hava amina to put anything. It's anything about not in Eretz Yisrael, and certainly not in any other country. Go study all the countries of the world and see what they put on the coins. Okay, and today they did a poll. They did a poll and they asked people, what do you think about this that it says on our bills, "In God We Trust"? 50% of the people polled said, do away with it. Next time you make a dalibel, we don't want, we find it offending. It offends us to have the words of God we trust on a dalibel. That's what we're holding today. What? Well, no, of course. That's what we're holding. That's what we're holding. But compare that to the coins of the Bayashedi, which had the Tzintzenes Hamon. Hashem gives you the Parnassah. And it was stored, Limishmeres Lidoiroi Seichem. You should know that Hashem provides Parnassah for all generations. It was stored in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Money is Kodesh. What Hashem gives you money and what you use the money for is sacred. Now, going back to this passage, again, read the book, we'll read this passage one more time. What he says, like them, says David, not to appreciate the depth of what he says. The Mitzvah stuff, it says something that is extremely profound. Extremely profound. A lot of people, how do you know it's profound? Because most people don't understand this. Most people will say to you, we all share one thing in common. We all share the concept of those who subscribe to monotheism, we believe in God. No, you don't. You don't all, it's not all the same. Your understanding, your relationship, your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so different. It's so different. You can't sit at the same table. This is an argument that people make. And it's really in the pasuk. Yeah, obviously, no, you have to nuance it. And every situation is different. Haloi avecha l'chulanu. We have the same DNA, the same gene pool, the same way all of the Jews, all of Klal Yisrael, we share a limited gene pool. Our genes are not the same genes as other members of this world, of the other 7.5 billion people of this world. Klal Yisrael is only 15 million people. Approximately, the genes of this 15 million people are unique, are different than the genes. It's a much smaller gene pool than the 7.5 billion people. And then when it says the same way we have a different gene pool, haloi kel echod biraon, we the Jewish people, we all share. We have been quarried from the same spiritual genes. La fuke the umayis ha'olam. Even though they are also created by Kodesh Baruch Hu, also they have spirituality, but their spirituality is from a different gene pool. And therefore, Madur Nivgad Ish Be'achiv L'chal L'bris HaVasein. Again, the words of the Mitzvah Stavid, this is very powerful what he says. One more time, these words of Yad Pasik, Yud in the Mitzvah Stavid. Haloi Ovecha L'chulonu Ato Chazal L'chicham Al-Oi B'dover Acher. It goes talking about the wives. Let's jump down to the first wide line. The first wide line in the Mitzvah Stavid on page 881. Haloi V'omar, Haloi Ovecha L'chulonu Ki Chulonu B'nei Yaakov Anachnu V'yesh We have the same DNA, the same gene pool. The haloi kel echod biraanu ritzon alayma haloi nafshois Yisrael atzulois meito. They have derived their nobility. Atzilus means nobility. Here we're using it in a very unusual form, very very poetic. How we use the word over here. Haloi atzulois. This is a violation of every rule of Hebrew, unless I don't know what I'm talking about. Halayat Silois, the spirituality, the nobility of the Jewish people has all been derived from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mimikor Machtzeves HaKodesh, from the same source, the same stone, the same quarry. We have all been chiseled out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kisei HaKavod, whatever that means, the Klal Yisrael, from one Mekor, from one place. Li'afuke, the Umay Sa'olam, they are different. Their spirituality came from a different section, a different area of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divinity. The Yeshim came lanu kurva mipas ha'nefesh. Our neshamas are all cousins. The same way there are cousins in physical bodies. Okay, who's your mother, who's your father, who's your grandfather? So too, when it comes to spirituality, we're cousins in spirituality. The Jews amongst themselves, we're all related. This is like, you know, you talk about theology, this Mitzvah Stav is like, you know, this is like incredible stuff. Okay, you go, what do they go teach in Princeton School of Divinity? I have no idea what they teach. My cousin, Mary Yaakov Soloveitchik, she has a PhD from Princeton in the philosophy of religions. Okay? Do they teach this over there? I have no idea what they teach there, but what it says over here is fundamental.
The Ishmaelim also say that they're cousins.
What? They say that, but they're going back to Avraham Avinu. Okay, you know, there is obviously a relation to Avraham and Yishmael and Esau, yeah. But they don't come anywhere near amongst ourselves. And certainly the other members of society, They're different. I remember that I told you this, there was someone in my father's shul, he worked in China most of the year. Most of the year he spent in China. And he came back 2 weeks here and there throughout the year to visit. And he came back. When he'd come back, my father would ask him to speak in Shalashuras. And to say over what is it like in China? Describe. And you know, so he did this a few times, maybe two, three times. So one time he spoke about their spirituality, the Chinese. Like he works with people in Chinese. Do they believe in God? Do they and he said, and I remember another thing he says,
they killed the girls.
What?
They killed the girls in those years.
They killed
the daughters of one man.
They just killed him, right? But okay, so whatever. Besides that, and he was just trying to describe. He says there's no one home. He works with them the whole day, and sometimes he tries to engage them in religious, with that God, and he talks to them about God. And like, there's no one home. It just doesn't register. There's something missing. Like you'll tell you, I would tell you it's not true, that there are some that are religious. Yeah, but it made an impression on me. All goyim are not the same. The same way when it comes to the physicality. Goyim, they look different. Everyone has a different skin color. Everyone looks different. Different genes and the physical makeup. There is such a real principle in the neshama. You can't just go and take a Gentile and make him into a satin chassid. It doesn't go like that. There's a certain spirituality. You need the kalim of that ruchnius that they're different.
Now it's clear why you can say a ger or somebody has that. That's what I can say.
Okay, so that's very complicated. What
fits
that means?
In, but it fits in.
Okay, it's a very complicated principle. They were pressed by Har Sinai. Yeah?
Yeah, that I was wondering, I took a sira just to make sure, from the phrase Kelecha Baronu, the Zmiras on Friday night, Samanafshi, Kelecha Baronu, was written by the Eben Ezra.
Ah.
So,
yeah.
So I was reading the thing there. My father used to like to sing that, and I'm reading it now, and it has a different meaning to me after the way we explained the pasuk, and I see that's the lashon that he used. By the way, the Eben Ezra was a poet most of his life. He didn't write the Perush till later on in his life. He lived off his royalties from making poetry.
Poetry, that was a big thing.
That was a big thing, but then he was kicked out, whatever it is. He wrote, they didn't even know, he wasn't a rabbi of any note, of anything. But then when he started to write and give shut, they realized, oh, this guy could learn too.
Did he write his whole dilemma, if he really wrote his parish for us, or it was a private, was it written private for himself, his private notes?
Right.
Because it's written so cryptic that it's almost, it's extremely difficult to understand. Not everyone is able, he did not necessarily write it to be published.
But it means something else, the use of the word basar, because we explained it about marrying.
Oh, so it goes further. Yeah.
And so I'm looking at the words, and it has a whole new meaning to me. I never thought about the words, but now I'm looking at it, and the words make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's a Korban, because he learns to deal with women. And now, let's finish the pasuk. We've got time. Let's finish the pasuk. I'm over here on the third wide line in the Mitzvah David. Madua, written Loimar, Uviyois Kain, Madua Nivgad Ish Be'achiv. According to the Mitzudais, this is a really big chiddush, what he says, that he learns the entire section is in relation to a man's relationship with his wife. He's unfaithful, a begida against his wife. So when it says be'achiv, achiv means your wife. Your wife's not your brother. Your wife is not a male. So we should say then achoisoi, he doesn't want to say achoisoi, but he learns it refers to madua nivgad ish be'achiv ritzoinoi loimar be'ishtoi. Sheyesh loy achva ima, he's related to his wife in brotherhood, meaning mipa'as aguf. Your wife is probably your third, fourth, fifth, sixth cousins. I'm sure if you trace people, you know, people don't even realize they get married. You can find out 10 years later. Oh, you know what? We're cousins. You married your cousin. How many? You know, how many cousins? Yeah. Whatever. Three, third cousin, fourth cousin, fifth cousin. Okay, that happens sometimes. Or mipa'as hanefesh. He's saying something very, very, very strange. when they came back to Eretz Yisrael, they got sunburned, and they became black. They became dark. Their wives lost their beauty. He says here that when they returned from Bavel, I don't know, I'm just reading the words, don't shoot the messenger. When they came back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, their wives lost, their beauty was dulled due to the intensity of the journey of the heat. Shezaftam HaShemesh burnt upon them. V'nishcharu, they were sunburned, they became black. What about the men? They didn't become black. They don't want to the women, so the men don't care. The men wouldn't care what they look like.
They were wearing their shlimel and then protected.
V'nim'asu be'nei ba'alehen. And they became detestable.
It's not just the climate, it's the stress.
The stress of traveling. The stress.
It has an effect on...
Absolutely, absolutely. The Gemara says, it says by Sarah. It says by Sarah, by Rivka, what does it say? That the travel normally takes away a person's yoifi. I don't know, it says one by the Imois. And by them, it didn't make a difference. It's a Rashi and Chumash. I don't remember which one is it, either by Sarah or by Rivka, or that ordinarily, due to the stress of traveling, a woman would lose her natural beauty. And by the Imois, it did not affect them. Meyashana, the Esrashana, the Shevashanim. What does it say in Rashi? When she was 100 years old, she was like 20 years old. 20 years old for Achet. And when she was 20, she was like 7 liyoifi. And I think there Rashi says that even though normally when you travel, the travel normally takes away your yoifi, it did not happen to Sarah. So here it says, in Talmud Bayesheni, it did. And the men, nim'asu ba'aleyen b'beineyen. V'nasu aleyen noshim nochriyos. So what did the Jews do? This is the big problem that it mentions. They married. He's coming over here to give an explanation for intermarriage. He's coming to tell why it happened. It's very shocking what it says here in the Mitzvahs. Yeah, that's right. You're right. Exactly. It weren't the intermarried before they came to Eretz Yisrael. The Mitzvahs that we're saying is that the intermarriage took place in Eretz Yisrael itself. That's what it says. I hear what you say. I don't know. We have to analyze this. He says, Vinasu Alehen, they didn't divorce them. Let's give them that credit. They didn't get divorced. They stayed married, but they practiced polygamy. They took more wives, non-Jewish women. Vinasu Alehen, in addition to them, Noshim Nochriyos, Vichicham Anovyalzeh. And this passage here is where Malachi is coming to give them Musar. V'yomar, Madua Niv Gad Bohen L'chalel Od Behabegida Hahi Es Brisa L'keinu. Kia Torah, so this is the second rebellion. The Torah says you're not allowed to marry a non-Jewish woman. So you rebelled against the Torah. Number two, you rebelled against your wife. By taking the Tsar into your house. So it's a double rebellion. It's a Begida against the Torah. You did something that is Osir. And it's a Begida against to your wife. This was the covenant. The Mitzvah is coming to answer the question that we asked before. What's the bris? What bris are we referring to? We're referring to the bris of Torah. There's a general bris of Torah, and we're a fundamental halacha is you're not allowed to intermarry. They intermarried, and there was also a begida against their eishes and the urim. And that's the Musar that he's presenting over here. Yeah.
That's why I wanted to say in the Hebrews over there, the line that goes all the way up there and stands and then you re-sing is Libi Uvisori. Is that he's talking about the wives of Nashim Machrios. That's the point of it. That's why he keeps using
what
the Uvisori so many times.
What are the words that you're referring to in
the Zmiris Friday night, someone option.
Yeah,
which word? We be sorry, running with the Hellfire. Kelech or the Rani, that's the Zmiris.
Yes.
Kelech or the Rani, the Yomach, Chayoni, Kilo, Yerani, or Adam Bokhoi. And we be sorry, running with the Hellfire. That's the phrase that So that's... So what I'm saying, he's referring to this passage. If you look at the Aben Ezra here, so he wrote that because he had this parrot in mind. Because he's using it for his, the impetus for his fingers.
Okay.
From this, that's what he's doing.
read it and you'll see what I mean. He's talking about your relationship with you and your wife.
Okay, we're going to stop here. We'll take a very short break. We'll learn Chumash in a